reach your heart. And I was just the thought, if you take notes and things like that, which is good, but you're exercising your mind, and today I really want to reach your spirit. And I would encourage you to get a copy of the CD or a DVD. You can get either one now. And I'll give you an outline if you want to dig into the words that I'm saying this morning. But really, in reality, I'm just trying to communicate from my spirit to yours. And they say that a message from the mind reaches the mind, but the message from a heart reaches the heart. And I just want you to have your heart ministered to today. Okay? So can we do that? If you have your Bibles, turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 10. 2 Corinthians chapter 10. We're going to read verses 13 through 17. And I'm going to share a story this morning that I've shared before. Probably most of you have not heard what I'm going to say this morning. But it's something that I think we all need to think about, have in our minds, in our hearts, all the time. But we need to be reminded of some of these things. This is a very important message this morning. 2 Corinthians chapter 10, beginning with verse 13. But we will not boast of things without our measure. But according to the measure of the rule which God hath distributed to us, a measure to reach even unto you. For we stretch not ourselves beyond our measure, as though we reached not unto you. For we are come as far as to you also in preaching the gospel of Christ, not boasting of things without our measure, that is, of other men's labors, but having hope, when your faith is increased, that we shall be enlarged by you according to our rule abundantly, to preach the gospel in regions beyond you, and not to boast in another man's line of things made ready to our hand. But he that glorieth, let him glory in the Lord. And may the Lord add his blessing to his word this morning. I want to speak to you this morning on the kingdom of your influence. The kingdom of your influence. Pastor Jack Hiles told this story. He said, years ago, I was a paratrooper in World War II. I was in the 82nd Airborne Division in the Parachute Maintenance Company. We jumped, but we also packed parachutes for the entire division. We had a big airplane hangar with large tables, much like a banquet hall. Each of us had a table where we packed parachutes. We had the top of the chute at one end of the table, hooked the base of the chute to the other end of the table, and packed the parachute. Once the parachute was packed, just inside was a little packet that held a logbook. After we packed a chute, we would take the logbook and write our name and the date we packed it. Don't you know that we packed it carefully? We got word that the Mexican consul was coming and we were going to jump. He wanted to watch us all jump. Captain Fuller, captain of our parachute maintenance company, said, "Men, we have to pack 10,000 parachutes in just a few days. We will have to work 16 hours a day." We worked, and we worked, and we worked. And every time we packed a chute, we would pull that little log book out, and we would write our name as the one that packed the chute. It came time. The Mexican consul arrived, and we jumped. And we jumped first, as the parachute maintenance company always did, so we could pick up the parachutes of those who jumped after us. On one side of me was an 18-year-old named Allie. He had one table beside me. On the other side of me, on another table, was a young man named Collinsworth. We jumped first, and we were on the field watching the others jump. There is nothing quite like it as you watch people jump out of a plane. Thousands of chutes opened, filling the sky all at once. We were watching and counting, waiting for the chutes to open. 1,000. 2,000, 3,000. They pulled the cord and the chute would fly open. It's a beautiful sight. But tragedy struck. One paratrooper jumped. We were counting. 1,000, 2,000, 3,000. but the chute didn't open. Allie Collinsworth, look, his chute isn't opening. He's having a streamer. Romans 14:7 says, "For none of us liveth to himself, and no man dieth to himself." Influence. Influence is the word of the message this morning, but that word influence doesn't occur in your Bible. Instead, God uses the word rule, and that word occurs 247 times. I would like to share with you today some thoughts about the kingdom of your influence. And the first thought is this: your sphere of influence, biblically speaking, is the kingdom over which you rule. You have a sphere of influence, and that is the kingdom over which you rule. How many of you have ever heard the phrase, "A man's home is his castle"? You heard that? Of course. We've all heard that, haven't we? But I want you to know today that that castle is just the beginning. Your sphere of influence goes far beyond the walls of your castle, of your home, and it extends far beyond even what you think. In our text of 2 Corinthians chapter 10, we find the word measure mentioned a few times there. One of the Greek words for measure means to stretch beyond. There are actually two Greek words for measure, and the other word is always a definite measure. It means a portion, or that which is measured off. It means a fixed space within the limits of where one's rule is confined. Or it can mean the province assigned to someone. I like that. The province assigned to someone. God has given each of you a definite place of rule, a province, a place of influence. In verse 13, Paul used the word distributed. The word means divided up. Every one of you in this room this morning has a kingdom of influence, a portion of influence that has been divided up and given specifically to you. Each of us have people over God, over whom God has given us influence. You know that? Every one of you here today has people that God has given to you to influence. God distributed to you that particular kingdom. And Paul says to the church of Corinth, the measure of influence that God gave me includes you. So you are included in my kingdom of influence. And so the first thought, the sphere of influence, biblically speaking, is the kingdom over which you rule. Secondly, God is the one who gives each person their kingdom. God is the one who gives each person their kingdom. Daniel chapter 4 and verse 25. That they shall drive thee from men, and thy dwelling shall be with the feast of the field. This is talking about the king there, King Nebuchadnezzar, and how he had taken glory that wasn't his to give. And God said, you're going to become like an animal, and you are going to crawl around, and you're going to eat oxen, and your fingernails are going to grow out, and you're going to look like a wild beast. That's what it says. And they shall make thee to eat grass as oxen, and they shall wet thee with the dew of heaven, and seven times, for 7 years, shall pass over thee. Listen to this. Till thou knowest that the Most High ruleth in the kingdom of men, and giveth it to whomsoever he will. Daniel chapter 5 and verse 21, he was driven from the sons of men, and his heart was made like the beast, and his dwelling was with the wild asses. They fed him with grass like oxen, and his body was wet with the dew of heaven, till he knew that the Most High God ruled in the kingdom of men, and that he appointeth it over whomsoever he will. God is the ruler. God is over men, but he gives each of us a kingdom, a place of rule. Everybody needs to know and understand that the kingdom of men is always under the kingdom of God. God is always in control. It may not seem like it at the time, but God is always in control. That is the truth. He's always in control. Nothing takes God by surprise. He gives you the sphere of influence that he wants you to have, and then that he wants you to rule over. Daniel chapter 4, verse 26, "And whereas they commanded to leave the stump of the tree roots, thy kingdom shall be sure unto thee. After that thou shalt have known that the heavens do rule." Daniel chapter 4, verse 17, "This matter is by the decree of the watchers, and the demand by the word of the holy ones, to the intent that the living may know that the Most High God ruleth in the kingdom of men and giveth it to whomsoever he will." God rules. He gives rule to whoever he wants to. And it says, goes on to say, "and setteth up over it the basest of men." It say that even the wicked are set up by God. Daniel chapter 2 and verse 21, "And he changeth the times and the seasons. He removeth kings and setteth up kings. He giveth wisdom unto the wise and knowledge to them that know understanding." God is the one who sets up kings. God is the one who removes kings. But I think a lot of what God does depends upon what people do and what people need. I think that God often puts people in places of leadership because it is what the people have asked for, or it's the people that deserve that, or God knows exactly what kind of leader to put into power. And that's why we need to pray for our leaders. We need to pray for them that they would exercise their rule, their kingdom of influence under God's sovereign will. Now, the kingdom of your influence is like a rock that's dropped in a lake. Those closest are the most affected. The people closest to you are the most affected by your rule and by your influence. But when you drop a rock in the lake, what happens? There's ripples, aren't there? There's a ripple effect. Those ripples keep going. And when you drop the rock in the lake, there's a big splash where the rock drops. But you then see ripples going out and out and out. You can watch those ripples, and depending upon the size of the rock and the force in which it was dropped, those ripples could go out 20, 30, 40, 50, even 100 feet or more. I want you to know today that your kingdom of influence is like that. Those closest to you are most affected, but your influence goes far beyond those closest to you. And you directly or indirectly influence maybe even thousands of people with your life. Do you know that you affected people this week that you didn't even know you affected? You had influence over people this week you didn't know that you had influence over? You had an impact on people this week that you didn't even know you had an impact on? And you influence people directly or indirectly in this life and after this life is over. Because your influence just keeps going on and on and on. Think about how you yourself have been influenced. In the past few days, you have been influenced by the writers of the articles that you have read. You have been influenced by the authors of books that you have read. You may have been influenced by movie stars or radio commentators. You may have been influenced by teachers and friends. You, right now, might be influenced by the person that is sitting next to you. You have to be careful of your influence. I believe it was the youngest governor Minnesota ever had, John A. Johnson, who said, "The man who influenced my career more than any other lived in our little hometown. He lent me the right books. He taught me what to read and how. Much of what I am, I owe to that man and those books." Number three, you cannot walk away from the kingdom of your influence. I'm giving you some thoughts about influence. This is an important thought. You cannot walk away from the kingdom of your influence because none of us lives to himself. When God gives us a kingdom to rule over, the responsibility that goes with that kingdom is yours whether you like it or not. I have heard parents say, We will not influence our children in the matter of religion. Well, why not? Why not? The TV will. The radio will. The media will. The movies that they watch will. Their teachers will. Their friends will. Should we ignore our children? Should we ignore the influence that we have on our children? You say, but my influence is just so small. Remember that a little lantern can do what the great sun could never do. It can shine in the dark. Nobody's influence is small. Nobody's influence is insignificant. You say, but I just don't mean much. To the world, you might be one person. But to one person, you might be the world. Who is that person that you are influencing? Who is that person that admires you, that looks up to you? Who's that person that wants to be like you? You know, some movie stars and athletes today, they say, I don't want to be a role model. They influence people whether they want to or not. What is influence anyway? It is the known or unknown power, authority, and rule that you exercise over others. In Burma several years ago, the lady who once had the power and rule in that country had left the country for a time but then had come back. She's found herself one day surrounded by a force of men with guns. And they had their guns pointed right at her. Everybody was sure they were going to shoot her. They were going to kill her. She walked right up to them, turned their guns around, and walked right on by. That is influence. Jesus had the same thing happen to him. There was this huge crowd that had gathered. There was talk about killing him. The Bible says that Jesus walked right through their midst. They parted and they let him go. That was the power of his influence. Let's say that you're going to sit down and do nothing so that you don't have any influence. Do you know that your decision to do nothing will become a powerful influence? Think about fathers and mothers who've left their children. Their absence itself becomes a powerful influence. You influence your children not just by words, but by your actions. That is why you need to be faithful to God. That is why you need to set a good Christian example. You want your children to go to church? Then you have to go to church. You have to set the example. You can't just turn your influence on and off like a light switch. Your actions will influence those around you. The words that you speak influence those around you. Do you know that even the expression on your face influences others? I was witnessing to a couple of young people one day, and the one I thought I had convinced them to become a Christian, and then they looked at the person that they were with, and when they saw the person's face, it was enough to influence them to not become a Christian. Number four, we should seek for our influence to be powerfully positive. If we're going to influence people, we should seek for our influence to be powerfully positive. We have a choice to have our influence be positive or negative, detrimental or helpful. You know, I've discovered that a powerful way of influencing people is by praising them. It's a powerful way to influence people, but it can be manipulative. And so you have to be careful. Books have a powerful influence. Benjamin Franklin said that the essay, Doing Good, motivated his entire life. Now, do you know how long your kingdom of influence will continue? 1 Corinthians 15:24 says, Then cometh the end, when he shall have delivered up the kingdom to God, even the Father, when he shall have put down all rule and all authority and power. Your kingdom of influence will continue until God stops it, and he himself has all rule. You know, the Bible says that you're the salt of the earth. Salt is a powerful thing. Salt can melt ice. If you've got ice on your driveway and you've got a nice sunny day, you can go out there and put ice on that driveway, or salt on that driveway, and melt the ice. Salt will give flavor to food. In fact, some food isn't even good if it doesn't have a little bit of salt on it. Salt will spread, will stop the spread of bacteria. Pastor was visiting a house one day, and they were a homeschooling family, so this will make sense, because we're a little bit different anyway. But the little boy said, Pastor, the oldest boy said, Pastor, would you like to see what I learned in school? Sure, said the pastor. Little boy went over and flipped the light switch on, said, Jesus is the light of the world. Pastor said, That's great, son. Another little boy said, Pastor, do you know what I learned in school? Pastor said, what's that, son? He said, we are the salt of the earth. And he took the salt shaker and poured a little of salt into the pastor's hand. That's great, son. Third little boy, the youngest of them all, said, Pastor, would you like to know what I learned? Pastor said, sure, son. He went over to the fridge, got an egg, cracked it over the pastor's head. Pastor said, what's that for? He said, take my yoke upon you. Now, you can do a science experiment. Get a Petri dish, put some bacteria in it, and watch it grow. You know what the interesting thing to me about that is? It's called a culture. You know that we live in a culture? And the bacteria of moral perversity and dishonesty and false philosophy surrounds us. Now, what happens if you put salt in a petri dish? It halts the growth of that bacteria. When you put Christians in a culture that is perverse, the Christian stops the spread of bacteria, prevents the growth of bacteria for that culture. Now, who can answer me this question? Where does bacteria grow best? Does it grow best in the dark? You know, in the dark closet or in the sunlight? In dark. Jesus is the light of the world. He retards the growth of bacteria. But Jesus also said to his disciples, ye are the light of the world. And so we are both salt and light. The best preaching in any city should be not the preaching that's done from the pulpit, but the preaching that is done by the lives of the people who sit in the pews. A picture is worth a thousand words, but a life is worth a thousand pictures. You remember the story of the rich man in hell? He asked if Lazarus could go back and preach to his brothers. I think that perhaps he was the eldest brother with five younger brothers about to follow him to hell. He had influenced them, and his kingdom of influence over them was following them even after he had died. And if they did die in their sins, one of his torments for all eternity would be that he had influenced them to go to hell. He could not stop the spread of his influence even after he was dead and gone. You remember what Abraham told him? He told them that his brothers had Moses and the prophets. And if they didn't listen to them, they wouldn't even listen if somebody came back from the dead. Listen, your influence on certain people is stronger than if somebody would actually rise from the dead and walk in and talk to them. Would you take a look around at the people in this room this morning? Think about the people in your family. Think about the people that you work with. Think about your friends. All of those people that you are thinking about this morning are just a part of the kingdom of your influence. 12 spies were sent into the promised land. 10 of them came back and gave a negative report. The people are so big. They're giants in the land. We are as grasshoppers in their sight. The cities are walled cities. We can't conquer that. And so the influence of the 10 cost the lives of 1 million people. 1 million people missed out on the promised land, wandered in the wilderness until they died because of the influence of 10. Mark chapter 15, verses 7 through 11, says there was a man by the name of Barabbas, which lay bound with them that had made insurrection with him, who had committed murder in the insurrection. And the multitude, crying aloud, began to desire him to do as he had ever done unto them. But Pilate answered them, saying, "Will ye that I release unto you the King of the Jews?" Now notice here, Pilate has a choice. He can release Barabbas, this hardened criminal, or he can release Jesus, the King of the Jews. He has a choice. For he knew that the chief priests had delivered him, Jesus, for envy. But the chief priests moved. They influenced the people that he should rather release Barabbas unto them. And so he says, "What shall I do with Jesus, who is called the Christ?" And the influenced mob said, "Let him be crucified. Crucify him and let his blood be upon us and our children." Pilate sent Jesus away to be crucified. The power of influence. Grandparents, you have a powerful influence. Ladies, you have a powerful influence. And in the Bible, your influence is seen to be both positive and negative. The Shunammite woman, Esther, Abigail, were all women who showed the potential of a powerfully positive influence. Jezebel and Herodias are negative influences. The elder has influence over the younger. In fact, from here on, these next couple of points, I'm going to be speaking on in greater detail next week. So I'm just going to give you these points. Number 5, guard yourself against wrong influences. Guard yourself against wrong influence, especially good sources. 1 Corinthians 5:6 says, "Know ye not that a little leaven leaveneth the whole lump?" Galatians 5:9 says, "A little leaven leaveneth the whole lump." So guard yourself against wrong influences, even those that have some good, but there's also some negative. Number 6, don't weaken positive influences in your life. This could be done by mocking those who try to influence you. It could be by keeping company with those who are weak instead of those who are strong, keeping company with those who would influence you to do wrong, to be weak, to hurt your testimony. Guard yourself against that. And don't weaken positive influences in your life. Number 7, plan your life as to continue your influence powerfully positive after you are gone. Plan for your influence to have a positive effect even after you leave this earth, even after you are gone. Isaiah 58:12 says, "And they that shall be of thee shall build the old waste places. Thou shalt raise up the foundations of many generations, and thou shalt be called the repairer of the breach, the restorer of paths to dwell in." Build a generation that is positive so the next generation can move forward and be positive. And the next generation can build on that generation and be positive. And the next generation can build on that generation and be positive. God wants to show mercy to thousands of people who love him and keep his commandments. Well, you remember our story that we began with. Pastor Jack Hiles and the parachute maintenance company. Him and his two buddies had just jumped. They're standing on the ground ready to pick up the parachutes of those who jumped after them. People begin to jump out of the planes. Parachutes begin to fill the sky. They're counting, waiting for the chutes to open, 1,000, 2,000, 3,000. They noticed that one man's chute didn't open. He was having a streamer. A streamer is when the suspension line is wrapped around the silk so that the air cannot get into the parachute. It was sure death. Jack Hiles said, "We watched him fall to his death. We had one thing in mind. We raced across the field as fast as we could go. Whose name was in the logbook? Who packed the parachute?" There were 240 people in our company who packed parachutes, he said. Each of us had one chance in 240. General James Gavin, one of the commanders, was already there. Jack Riles ran up to him. He said, "General Gavin, look in the logbook. Check the logbook. Who packed the parachute?" General Gavin got the logbook out, opened it up and looked, read the name, Collinsworth. Jack Hiles said, "I never saw a young man jump from a standing position as high as he jumped. He just simply said, 'Oh my God, I wish I had been more careful. I wish I had been more careful.'" He took one last look at the body that was lying there, mangled, and he took off, running across the field to go to his barracks. And all the while, he's just shouting, "Oh my God, I wish I had been more careful. I wish I had been more careful." As he threw himself on his bed in the barracks, those outside could hear him wailing, still crying out, my God, I wish I had been more careful. I wish I had been more careful." Jack Hiles said, long and through the night, they could hear this man sobs against the pillow as over and over again he would say, "Oh my God, I wish I had been more careful. I wish I had been more careful." I want you to know that every single one of us today are packing parachutes. The people that we influence are someday going to take a jump. And if we have set before them a godly and a right example, they can jump to safety. But if we have been careless, and we have not lived the Christian life like we should, or we have not set the kind of example that we need to set, then I'm afraid that many might jump to their destruction. Can I tell you today that you cannot run from your influence? You cannot get away from it. You will influence people in this life and after this life is over. You will influence people whether you want to or not. The people in your family, that's just the beginning of the kingdom of your influence. They feel the largest splash, but your kingdom continues to spread out and out and out. No man lives to himself, and no man dies to himself. 2 weeks ago, roughly, Debbie and I received the greatest letter we've ever received in our life. She wept as she read it. She gave it to me. I wept as I read it. I won't tell you who it was from. Because you know them. It was probably the part that choked me up the most. It was written from a lady who said, "My husband, before making a decision, asks what I would do. What I would do." And I thought about the power of influence. And then that was the greatest letter I ever received in my life, other than one I got from my wife one time. But then a year ago, I got another special letter. It was from a girl who was in our youth group in Toma. Debbie and I received this letter in a Christmas card, and I'm not going to read you the whole letter. But I just want to read a part of this to you this morning, not because I want to sit up here and brag. I've got three reasons for doing this, and I'll tell you what they are. Said, "We assist in the worship at our church. I lead the youth drama team called Hearts on Fire, which has been together for about 2 years now. I also organize all the plays and musicals that the kids in our church do. Who knew that all those years of doing Isaac Air Freight, which we always did these skits. Who knew that doing Isaac Air Freight would someday pay off? And I'm always amazed at how God will move you out of your comfort zone a step at a time. One of the things I remember most about what you taught us as a youth pastor in Tomah was to never say never to God. I always said that I would never teach any form of children's church at or Sunday school. In the past 15 years, I have been the children's church leader in two churches, led or assisted in drama or music ministry in four churches, and taught Sunday school in three churches. Currently, not only do I teach a Sunday school class, but it is the high school Sunday school class, and I love it. I also remember saying that I was not called to be a pastor's wife. About 4 years ago, we lived in Wagner, South Dakota, and attended a small Native American home missions church. We were without a pastor for 2 years. During that time, the presbyter, who was a former pastor of ours, asked us to make sure the church did not fall apart. So for those 2 years, Clark and I were, in essence, pastor and pastor's wife, just without their credentials. She goes on to talk about how God is calling them into the mission field and how her husband is going back to school so that they can become Assembly of God missionaries. But she said toward the end of the letter, "I know that sometimes we forget to take the time to find and tell the people that help shape or influence our lives how much they mean to us. 2007 has been a year of reunion, healing, forgiveness at times, and reconciliation for me. And as the year is closing, I want to take just a minute and thank you for being there for me when I was younger and in our youth group in Tomah. I still remember so many of the things you taught me, how to be a friend, how to listen, how to show someone who Christ is just by the way that you live. For all the things you taught me, I just want to say thank you." Do you see the ripple effect? It started with her, but it continues to go, and who knows where God will lead them into this world. But I read the letter for three reasons. First of all, I want you to know that the letter that we received 2 weeks ago and a letter like this will keep me going for a long, long time. It just renews my energy and keeps me going for a long, long time. Now, here's the thing. By your example, you can pack a parachute, and you can pack it wrong, and you can watch people go to destruction. Or secondly, you can have a letter like this. I would much rather have a letter like this than to watch somebody's life being destroyed. I want to make sure that my influence is powerfully positive. This is where I want to just communicate with your spirit today. We have a choice. We influence people whether we want to or not. The thing that we're going to do is ask ourselves, are we going to influence them in the right way? Second reason I tell you that is because there are people that have influenced your life. You don't know what it would do for them to get a letter like this. It will keep them going for a long, long time. Maybe it'll give them enough gas to go the rest of their life. Ever I get down and discouraged, I'll pull out this letter and I'll look at it. And it'll keep me going. And the third thing, actually, maybe it's just the two. What kind of influence do you have on people right now? Is your influence positive? Is your influence negative? It's not too late to do something about it. From this point on, from this moment on, you could say, I want to have a positive influence. I want to set a good example. How do you do that? Well, the first thing that you need to do is receive Jesus Christ into your heart as your Lord and Savior. To repent of your sins and to make the decision to follow Christ. That's where it all begins. If you haven't done that, you need to do that today. Don't put it off. Don't wait another Sunday. Don't wait another moment. And then the second thing is to live your life in such a way that you are aware that you are packing parachutes for others and that you are influencing them and that God has given you a kingdom, God has given you a province of influence to rule over, and you are going to set the example and have a positive influence on those in your kingdom. Could I have your heads bowed and your eyes closed this morning? I want to encourage those of you who might be a little discouraged today. You've been working and teaching and setting a good example. Maybe you haven't gotten a letter like that. Someday you'll hear God say, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." It'll mean the most coming from Him. But maybe you will get a letter like that. Maybe you're here today and you need to repent of not setting a good example. Or maybe you're here today and you are one that's being influenced the wrong way. The influences on your life are influencing you in the wrong direction. You need to repent of that today and look for people that could influence you in a powerfully positive way. I wonder, first of all, while the heads are bowed and their eyes are closed, and it's between you and God this morning, is there anyone here? Say, I've never asked Jesus to be my Savior. I've never received Him in my life. I've never repented of my sins. But today I would like to do that. I want to start there so that I can be a good influence on people. Could I see your hand just up and down? Pastor, would you pray for me? I want to receive Christ this morning. Christians, how many of you want to be a good influence over people? Could I see your hand? Would you, first of all, accept the fact that God has given you a kingdom to rule over? Would you accept that? Would you thank Him for that? Would you ask Him to help you? To help you be the influence that He wants you to be. Father, we thank You for this time. We thank You for the kingdom of influence that we have, the rule that You have given, distributed to us. We ask, Lord, that You would help us as we rule these kingdoms. Lord, that our influence would be a positive thing. That You would give us the grace and the strength to live out the Christian life before others. And we pray, Lord, that You would bring those people to us that could be touched under the realm of our influence. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Would you stand to worship the Lord? A couple more songs. These altars are open. If you need to come today and seek the Lord, you can do so. Before we're dismissed, we're going to have a word of prayer and pray for Marion and a couple other needs. So just hang tight for just a couple of moments. Let's just worship the Lord here.
You're risen. myself, I belong to you. Oh, lead me. Lead me to the cross. To your heart. To your heart. Lead me to your heart. Lead me to your heart. And lead me to the cross where your love poured out. And bring me to my knees, Lord, I lay me down. And rid me of myself, I belong to you. Oh, lead me. Oh, lead me. Lead me to the cross where your love poured out. And bring me to my knees, Lord, I lay me down. And rid me of myself, I belong to you. Oh, lead me. Lead me to the cross.
If you want your influence to be positive, you have to choose it to be so. You have to choose the fear of the Lord. You have to choose the cross. If you don't work at it, it won't be. Left to itself, it won't turn out the way you want it to. You have to work at it. Praise the Lord. You may be seated. I'd like us to pray for Marion Hoyt and